Accession number 18249, Real One.
Date today, Reuben. It's about the 6th of February, isn't it? 6th of February, 1995. And your name is Reuben
Warmby.
Reuben Warmby. And what's your service number, Reuben?
339-0947.
And what was your date of birth, please, Reuben?
12th of August, 1914.
And you were born. Whereabouts were you born?
In Derbyshire. Furnace Vale,
in Derbyshire. And what about in 1944? Were you married at that stage, or?
Yes, married in 1937.
Married in 1937. So when did you join the forces, Reuben?
I was called at 25.
At the age of 25,
yes. 25 group, you
see. Oh, 25 group, yeah. So, but what year would that be that you went
40,
into the army? 40. But you just missed Dunkirk, I think, didn't you?
Yes, June I went up.
Yeah, right, yeah. And in the army, when you were in the army eventually in 1944, what sort of job were you doing then? Your job, you were driving?
Well, I was driving instructor at Blackpool.
Yeah.
And then when I went and joined battalion, first East Lancs, I got on a Cardinal Lloyd and towing a gun,
that's right.
A tank gun.
And you were driving that, weren't
yes.
you? You were driving that.
But before we had them track vehicles, we had what they call a 14.
Yeah.
And gun used wind inside that.
Yeah.
Inside.
Oh, inside the vehicle instead of towing it. Yeah. And what about. So
they have them at Blackpool now on pier.
Oh, are they?
Them same truck for going in sea.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah. So, but what about in 1944? I mean, the battalion went to France about June the 25th, I think, or June the 26th.
Yes.
So that's like 2 or 3 weeks after D-Day. And you went over from Tilbury, didn't you?
Yes.
Do you remember anything about the journey over and getting there and what it was like?
Well, we all slept down on
Hammocks.
Hammocks.
Yeah.
And then when they lowered us down onto four carriers, I think, on weighted of you, and they were lowered onto rafts.
Yeah.
And I got last one off, and that's when I sunk.
On the other side? So when you got to the other side, you sunk? Yeah?
Yes.
That's what you're saying, yeah?
Well, because, as I said, motors were shut off.
Yeah.
So it hadn't power for taking in. And
yeah.
There's one carrier run off, it shoved it farther back.
Right.
And kept going farther back, and I was last, so I was into deeper water.
Were there many other people that sunk?
Well, I never noticed. You don't bother when things are floating around you.
Because
when your brown shoes come past you.
Because you were saying earlier that I think you were the only one that sunk. You were the last one off.
Yeah,
and because the water was deeper,
there was
that's why you sunk.
Vehicles being unloaded as well on the other side.
Yeah.
See, we were unloaded on the left. So,
yeah.
I mean, there were all sort of going on. And vehicles
yeah.
all over the beach
yeah.
everywhere.
Yeah. So then you started to, once you got off the beach, after getting out of the water, you started going inland.
Well, I had to stop because the vehicle had to be drained off and whatnot.
Oh, right. Because it was wet.
To got water in engine.
Yeah, right.
Because
yeah.
it sucks it up the exhaust if you're
right.
not waterproof.
Yeah, right. But then you see, I think you said it was only waterproof to a certain way up or something
yes.
like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but having got all that sorted out, then you went inland.
I went and joined
them
to Batuna.
So then you started your war, really, and then you started...
I started war, then they put guns in position.
Where did you put the guns? Where do you remember where it was?
No.
It wouldn't have been round somewhere... I guess it would have been round somewhere the area of Hill 112.
It was not far from where I landed, anyway.
Oh, not far from where you landed?
No, somewhere there.
Yeah, I think from the landing place you went to a place called Benny, which is your.
Yeah.
I mean, I call you Reuben,
yeah.
but other people know you as Benny, don't they?
Ben.
But you went to a Ben, yeah. But you went to a place, first of all, called Benny-sur-Mer. And it may be there that you started
yeah.
to put the guns into place.
And that's where that first bloke got shot.
The first bloke got shot?
With B Company Patrol.
Yeah, right. And that he was shot by accident or something, yeah. you were saying, wasn't he? Yeah.
trigger happy.
Yeah, well, I can understand it, because it's people must have been nervous, mustn't they?
Yeah.
But you must have known what was going on, because you'd left UK 3 weeks after D-Day, and yeah. Some news must have been filtering back that it was all okay and it was going to plan and so on. So you knew at that stage early on, just after landing, that there was a bit of a beachhead and the Germans weren't in that area.
Oh, there was shell firing all the time.
Oh, there was?
Oh, aye.
Yeah.
Very rare there was anything quiet.
Yeah, yeah.
So then you had to keep digging in and all, you know, dig trenches. And when we first went, we went in the orchard and we dug, first of all, we used to dig deep trenches.
Yeah.
And in this orchard, Germans were bombing docks.
Yeah.
And blasts, it was near docks anyway, and it was sandy. And this officer, when he had a rope all after, they come round seeing if everybody were all right, we were all in trenches.
Mm.
And this trench fell in, we were being sandy, and buried him. We were only a young officer in signals.
Yeah.
So after that, we only had to drain trenches deep enough to be just below ground.
Oh, I see.
As long as you were below ground,
yeah.
You were no safer in a deep one,
yeah.
As what you were, as long as you were.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't know, you've got a vehicle, wasn't it just a case of getting under the vehicle?
No, as soon as you, if there were any edges or anything, first thing the driver had to do was to get under the edge,
yeah.
And put a camouflage net over.
Yeah, yeah.
We had camouflage nets.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, right.
So once we dropped gun off, driver's job then was to get vehicle on the edge, undercover somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you remember about, you know, going down toward Falaise? Because that's really, at that part of the war, that's what
that
you were...
Where it was bad, right? It was like a narrow place, and hills on both sides, and because the RAF had shelled them, all these horses, they used to have horses pulling guns,
yeah.
All these horses had run up bank, you know, panicking and... A lot of them were fast at gun, and guns had turned over,
yeah.
And there were dead horses all over the place.
Yeah. And it was summertime, wasn't it?
Yeah, in fact, it showed one of the civilians cutting rump off a horse,
yeah.
In one of the pictures.
I'll tell you where that was, I think. That was in Ergenbosch.
Yes,
later on in the war.
What do we call it? Bangosh or something?
Yeah, Dembosch.
Dembosch.
Dembosch. Which is that, but that's later on, that's about October yeah. Time, isn't it? But around that time, with all those dead and carnage and all that terrible things yeah. On, and summertime, the terrible smells and
terrible
awful.
Cows smelled worse because they used to blow up like big balloons.
Yeah, yeah.
They
yeah.
Smelled
yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah, but by the time you got down to Falaise, you were fairly used to it because.
Oh, right. When you saw dead Germans, it didn't bother you.
No.
But when you started seeing your own
yeah.
Lying there, that's when it, like,
yeah.
Reminded you you were at war.
Yeah, that's right. But, I mean, you didn't need many reminders because at that time, this is August.
They were shelling out town.
This is August, and you landed in June, so yeah. You've been there a couple of months almost.
Yeah. Well, you've got used to it. You see, when they come over, you knew they were going over. You could tell which sound.
What, shells?
As a shell. Like them doodle bugs, what you used to call London.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
Could tell if they were going, where they were going.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So you got used to it.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. So, and if you heard them anyway, if you heard the explosions,
well,
you knew that they'd missed you anyway, didn't they?
You always got in your trench or underneath. When you heard them coming, because you didn't know till they'd gone over it, where they were going to drop, did you?
No, that's right. But was that the worst, as far as you remember about it, was that the worst part of it, the shelling and the mortaring and...
Yeah, I remember once somewhere, they were shelling for 48 hours, day and night,
yeah.
And we were at half a racket.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't
yeah.
Know where that was, but they were at it all that while, 24 hours, day and night, shelling, heavy
yeah.
Shelling.
Yeah, yeah. And you... But you were sort of supporting infantry, weren't
we,
you?
We were always with an infantry company.
Mm.
With three infantry companies, A, B and C.
Yeah.
And there were always two guns with each company.
Yeah. What? Yeah. Well, there were six guns in,
yes.
In your
yes.
Anti-tank...
When our company went into attack, there were always two guns went with them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. So what about... So then you got down to Thalleh, and then, I mean, there had been a lot of action, and the battalion were involved in lots of action there. But, I mean, there must have been some quite humorous things that have happened along the way.
Right. Well, there were always something funny. Wherever you were, there was somebody. I never remember. I mean, I was once in HQ. I even got in HQ for a while. Now, when I used to go up with rations, it was worse being in HQ and going up with rations than what it were being with a gun. Because when you were with a gun, you were used to it where shells were dropping. Now, when you went with rations, these shells would come over and they'd all drop in the trenches, but they hadn't done one for visitors.
So
all you could do were lie in your vehicle. All dozens were in trenches. So I'd rather be with gun than HQ. Because you're no trench. You never done one for a visitor.
But you see, you've got a reputation about the sort of person that you are, the sort of character that you are, by talking to some of the other chaps. And you were always in the centre of any humorous activity, it seems, throughout your
Experiences. I didn't know.
No, but I think that's a fact that you were. And I know that, you know, some of the things that you've told me as well, it's obvious that you were.
I wish this bloke were
you. Yeah, your chap. Your mate's name again as well, you said? Give me his name again.
Eric Ferguson.
And Eric Ferguson. Was another. What did he do?
He drove a.
Same as you?
Yeah.
And there were two of you.
And then he finished up on a Bren carrier driving to Seoul.
Yeah. I mean, there's a story that you told me earlier that you might like to tell me again, which was the one when. It's like we're going out of sequence, but it doesn't matter. Later on, when you were down on the Mers, was it on the Mers or the Mars or something, Mars, when you were driving one carrier and Eric, your friend and mate, was driving another carrier.
For all night.
Why were you driving it all night?
Well, a Scottish regiment, what river was it?
The Mars, I think.
They wanted to cross, but Germans were firing it over in that position.
Yeah.
See, so they wanted. Mind you, they were far back. They were farther back. They were firing well back over the river.
Yeah.
And they asked me and Eric to drive a carrier, one go, and as he were coming back, the other go. Mm. And all night it was pouring rain and cold, and we kept going up in bottom gear, turning around, coming back, and we did that all night.
Yeah.
And the idea was to draw some attraction at that other end of the road.
Yeah.
So we kept doing this all night, and next morning when I got back about 6 o'clock, it was still pitch black, and they must have moved their artillery higher up because they started shelling where we'd been turning round.
Yeah, that's right.
So they thought as there were a lot of tank units going up.
Yeah, yeah.
And it worked.
Yeah, but
the Scots regiment crossed.
They crossed over where they moved from.
Oh, they were firing where we'd been all night.
Yeah, that's right.
And two carriers like that made enough noise in bottom gear for giving that impression as there were a lot of tanks moving.
Yeah. So you and your friend Eric, you and your friend Eric, and as far as that was concerned down there, changed the course of things to some degree.
Yeah.
Just by driving up and down.
One of the things that has worked. Yeah.
Because you were saying earlier that you don't really know how we at the end of it we won the war because there were so many things that happened and so many funny things.
Going across that plough field and giving a smoke cover and they put it in next field.
Yeah,
and
that's
right. Going across a plough field. And right,
this was when you were attacking a creamery, wasn't it?
A dairy.
Yeah. So there's you and your mates there as well at that time.
Yeah, well, the platoon would be about 6, 5, 3, there'd be about 30 of us run across that field.
Yeah, to attack
Blown field.
To attack this, to attack this creamery.
Yeah.
And the sun shining, didn't it?
Sun shining, a lovely
bright daylight. Yeah.
And we had a gun that fired a anti-tank gun fired at this dairy, and it blew corner of it off, and it drove they were Hungarians, what were they, weren't German.
Yeah.
And it drove them down into to Celle.
Yeah.
So we went across. And luckily it did, because smoke, what was supposed to be covering us,
yeah,
had been, we put it next field.
Yeah.
So we run across in lovely sunshine,
yeah,
which were lucky. Our B company had got wiped out.
And you were bouncing up and down when you were going across
over
this,
these,
over the humps.
Yes.
Yeah.
And why the Santos B company were wiped out in the morning, they wiped a lot of B company out, because they went across,
yeah,
and they let them get right near to them, and then they opened fire,
yeah,
on them.
Yeah. But didn't your mate sort of get out of his vehicle at one time with his rifle and put his rifle through a window or something, sort of sideways?
Oh, no, that's when we run across field.
Oh, you ran across?
We were on foot then. This,
yeah,
is when we were attacking. We attacked it on foot.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't realise that.
Oh, I was on foot.
You're on foot.
Running over this plain field.
What sort of weapon did you carry at that stage?
A brain gun.
You had a brain gun?
With less magazine.
Well, you must have been pretty handy with a brain gun then, I suppose, were you?
And I used one. I knew I'd take them apart and put them together, that way.
Yeah.
I never had anything to do with it. We were driving mostly, that was our job, driving.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But really, you didn't...
Well, we were supposed to, we'd been trained on one,
yeah,
in case one of them fell sick or got shot,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, yeah.
We were supposed to be able to take gun over.
Yeah.
But...
Wasn't there a time when you had some prisoners? You had to look after some German
That's
prisoners?
That's at that dairy.
That was in the dairy, yeah.
When they brought them up out at Celle.
Yeah. After your mate had put his rifle through the
window.
Sideways. To threaten them.
I kept cover with him. I kept him in cover. He says, I'm not in cover, did I?
But you had a brain gun or a Sten gun then?
Sten gun.
A Sten gun, not a brain gun.
Get that. I said, you're all right, I've got you covered.
But was your Sten gun loaded?
No. No magazine, it wouldn't carry.
So then you capture these Hungarians.
Well, them others got a gun down at Celle, brought them up, and, yeah, gave them to me and Eric, and we lined them up. And then they were that frightened, because we lined them up, we thought we were going to shoot them.
Yeah.
They started showing us photos, and,
yeah,
they gave Eric this big watch. They were happy when we didn't shoot them.
But you had to look after them, didn't you?
Well, we looked after them until some of the infantry men come in to march them away.
Yeah, what would you have done if they'd have attacked you at that stage?
They didn't, because they were all at Celle with that thing. It frightened them. I mean, they all shot down at Celle, because when it blew that corner off, it would make a terrific noise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, they all shot down at Celle.
Yeah, but they didn't know you didn't have any bullets in your gun, did they?
Oh, no.
No, just as well, I suppose, isn't it? But
how well they were all downstairs, I didn't see them until they brought them home.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. But then, and then later on, there was another story about you being made up into a corporal, weren't you?
That was after the war, though.
Oh, it was after the war when you were, yes, made up? Well, yeah. with the when you had to give the orders?
Yeah.
That was after the war?
Yeah.
Well, just tell the story about that. I know we're going out of sequence, but tell a story about that one. With the sergeant.
Well, my mate went into company office, and I said, because I want a soldier, so I said, don't watch me, Eric, mounting guard. He said, I wouldn't miss this. We were 3 o'clock in the morning. So when I got some all lined up,
yeah,
my voice went, I couldn't speak. So Sergeant Major come, and he stood behind the tree, and he's telling me what's like. Attention, port arm, left turn, and quick march. And that was it. We marched off, and Fergus Harry.
You're trying to relay the sergeant's orders to the men there. Because you don't know.
He was telling me what's there.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah,
I went blank.
Yeah. So what about experiences going through? I mean, Can you remember much about, you know, the places you went to? You went to Ergenbosch, you went to the Reichswald, you went to Antwerp Docks.
I was bad in Reichswald, because every crossroad, like there were all roads across
in Rifle Forest. Rifle Forest, yeah.
And they always had guns set to them crossroads, so at crossroads were always back for passing till we had moved them, the aircraft and whatnot, bombed them.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we were in there a long while, and every tree, there was nothing left on trees, only just stumps.
Yeah, because before you went into the rice world, the artillery had...
Yes. And a lot of these little, where there were little clumps of trees, all of them were missing, because that's where a lot of little pockets were.
Yeah.
And you see, what Germans did, they used to leave a pocket of so many, and they'd retreat.
Yeah.
And they'd get reformed, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to show you something, Ruben. I know.
Right, so you're in the Reichswald, yeah? You're talking about the trees there.
Well,
the,
we brewed up there with water where wheels had dug a drain, where they'd been stuck.
Well, the Reichswald was very muddy, wasn't it? And there was terrible
but
rain.
Yeah, but had dipped out. Yeah, but if you scooped it up careful, and we used to pour it through a rag, through a handkerchief.
Oh, the water that was lying in the
ruts. Brewed up with that.
Yeah. Well, so what did you do? What was your, you had guns in the right? So you were taking this gun.
Well, everywhere we went, as soon as we got in a position, gun crew jumped out and unlooped gun after they'd shown me which way they wanted it.
Yeah.
And then they jumped out and put their dealt with gun, put it in position. My job was a camouflaged vehicle.
Yeah. But it must have been tricky in there, mustn't it? Because you've got bits of trees all over the place.
Oh, yeah. It was tricky out most of the place. Because we were in field most of the time.
But in the Reichswald it was particularly bad, wasn't it? Because you had...
I remember, you know, and at night when you were travelling, you only had a little light on to... differential, you know, there used to be a little white dot there.
Yeah.
Well, you drive behind that, watching it go up and down, you know, like that.
Yeah.
I said, the one thing, you won't go to sleep with these track vehicles, but you used to, you could doze off. I remember going on somewhere in France, going along, and when I wound up, there's a train going upside on me.
Yeah. A train?
A marine train.
So where did the train go? You'd driven up to the side of a railway line?
Side of a railway.
And you didn't realise that?
I don't know where that was. And I must have just dozed away, you know. Well, it used to send you to sleep, this little white dot, you know, because it was going up. And then all of a sudden I saw this dot go up it there, and he'd run down, bang.
Yeah.
Truck in front of me.
Yeah.
Track.
Yeah.
In fact, I had to hook him on and pull him back.
Yeah. But that was back in France.
Yeah.
Sometime.
But you follow that little white dot and you go to sleep.
Yeah, it's probably it's a bit like, you know, hypnotised and swinging the watch in front of your eyes, isn't it? That same sort of thing.
And then drone engine and all.
Yeah. And because when you drove those things, you said the way you drove them was with levers, wasn't it?
Yeah. Tillers.
A bit like tanks, but not a steering wheel sort of thing. But that didn't make it harder to drive, did it? Because of that,
no,
it made it easier.
I used like them better than a wheel. You could handle them better.
Yeah.
I mean, where you're journeying on a wheel, I mean, you're only doing that.
Yeah, that's right. So Reichswald Forest, what about other areas? Do you remember anything about other particular areas that you were
in? Yeah, L112. That was bad doing. Shelling that.
Yeah.
No end.
Yeah.
Because they were higher up.
Yeah.
We, you know, if you could get on hill, you were better. And firing down. Well, they were always on top, firing down at you more.
Yeah. There were a lot of tanks around there, weren't there?
But they used to always be getting stuck tanks.
Yeah.
You know, every time you saw a tank, it was stuck.
Yeah. But I mean, the German tanks really were far better than our tanks, weren't they?
Well, sir.
At that time.
They were massive then.
So most of the tanks that you saw knocked out or burnt out were British tanks, I
guess. You know, one time I saw a clever thing do. We were going along a narrow road, all we were attacking a village. I think it was B Company had gone in front, and we were following them. All six guns were going. Mm. We were going up, so they'd all marched up the infantry. And we was following them, and then about across the field, there were a privet edge or some sort of edge, and then they shot at this first vehicle.
Yeah.
And it narrow road, and we couldn't turn round.
Yeah.
And then there were them fire bombs.
Yeah.
They fired and burned them out, shot at them.
What, phosphorus or something, isn't it?
Yeah, we had a cloth cover over.
Yeah.
So when they shot that, it set that. And I was lucky. There were only two left out of about 10 vehicles, because they shot first and second one, third one, and we had a big roll of barbed wire on the roof.
Yeah.
A big coil of barbed wire.
Yeah.
So it used to tear the roof naturally, raining in. So I thought, it's not doing that with mine.
Mm.
So in a farm, I found a great big corrugated sheet, two sheets. So I had that on top.
Yeah.
And barbed wire on top of corrugated sheet, and this incendiary bomb, it dropped on this barbed wire, and with having corrugated sheet there, it just fizzled out.
Yes.
So mine was saved, and three more behind me were saved.
Yeah. Oh, that's
but that seems like
it worked.
They did a good move there, whereas they shot first one.
Yeah.
And them, like guns at back, started firing towards that edge.
Yeah.
So there were about three saved. There were mine and two more at back.
Yeah.
And because back guns started firing at that edge.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't get gun off and fire, so it stopped fire there.
Yeah, that's right.
But they'd done about six.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ruben.
Yes.
Oh, the door's jammed or something, isn't it?
Yes.
So that was Hill 112 at that stage you were talking about there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What about, have you got any thoughts about anywhere else that you were? I mean, I know you were on the Mars and various rivers and...
Well, the only thing that stuck in my mind, and where I was looking, where I told you where they'd emptied them detonators out.
Oh yeah, that was early on, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like rations had come up, and this bloke had emptied these detonators on the wall for use, but for tea and sugar.
Yeah.
So at that particular time, we'd pulled in for a rest. Our two guns.
Yeah.
We'd been on an attack with A Company, so we'd all pulled into this farmhouse.
Yeah.
And this bloke had put these on the wall. So about an hour after that, we just got there, about an hour after, they says, right, get going, we've got to go. Corporal Boardman's gun been wiped out, Corporal Ollerton's gun been wiped out. A shell's hit their ammunition and blown gun and all that up.
Yeah.
So we had to take our gun on and move out into this position.
Mm.
And next morning, somebody trod on them detonators, or they don't know if somebody trod on them or at sunset them off.
Yeah.
But there was a big explosion, and there was, I think, there were about five or six killed.
Yeah.
And one or two injured, because Sergeant were buried under a lot of bricks.
Yeah.
He kept saying, "My legs are over there, my legs are over here."
Yeah.
And you could see, you know. So when we come back, this had all happened.
Yeah.
So if we hadn't have been called out,
yeah,
we'd have been there.
That's right.
So that will look.
Yeah, that's right. I think that was a place around about a place called Bougie, where it was Bougie was a chateau place.
Another time, we was all lined up and there was a bank and a field, like we could see along this field, and all of a sudden we could hear feet mark running over this field.
Yeah.
So Corporal says to me, "Go and get them hand grenades." So I goes up and creeps up and gets his hand grenades, and I give him the box and I took one out, and these feet, Mark, were coming over. You could hear them stamping like horses.
Yeah.
So I took them out of this grenade, and then these voices, as they come near, they shout, "With Manchester's, with Manchester's."
Yeah.
So after they'd come and started talking to it, I said, I've got a grenade here, I've dropped in. And Sergeant Bowen said, "And what is gun went wrong?" He said, "Hold it, give it me." It took about half an hour for passage on to do it, and he grabbed them and then he flung it up.
He threw it.
Well, we'd lost pin.
You'd lost the pin. But didn't somebody say that you found the pin stuck in your shoe or something, or stuck in some mud on your shoe?
I think it was stuck down my gaiter after that while.
Afterwards, yes. Probably. Yeah.
And a rattler soldier snatched my gun off me. When he heard him coming, he snatched my gun off me, and his gun were in carrier, and he took mine off me.
So you didn't have a gun at all?
I had no gun at all, so he sent me for grenades.
But you didn't have any bullets in your gun?
No.
No, he didn't know that, did he?
No, he wouldn't know that. He was what killed with them detonators.
Oh, right. Yes, but so he was in a carrier as well?
He was a gunner
in a carrier. Yeah. What about, as you said, this sergeant whose gun had the problem with the gun? What was that you said?
Yeah, well.
You just said about the sergeant who's had a problem with the gun, did you say?
Oh, that right. Well.
What was that one then? I can't remember what you said then.
Well, we was on this road, parked again edge, across field, not a very big field, there was another edge, and it led up to some trees, and Corporal. But it's going up for a shoot at him.
A corporal, yeah.
And his gun won't work. So he says to me, "Won't be shoot. Shoot them."